brought to you by the Georgia Governor's Office of Highway Safety, reminding you to buckle up, Georgia.
What are the other differences in this reclass?
I will not say still 6A's.
Oh, a year and a half ago, the last reclassification, my head was spinning.
I mean, did you ever think that you'd get to a point to where you're talking about luxury suites at high school football games?
No.
Welcome to another round of the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast here at Georgia Public Broadcasting. Thanks for accessing us however you are doing so. Large device or small, audio, video, all points in between, choice D, all of the above. And this one is a special version here on the weekly side. John here, Hannah there, and over there, the executive director of the Georgia High School Association, Dr. Tim Scott. Thanks for hanging out.
Hey, yay. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah, quick little easy 35-minute drive. He said we love having you in studio, so thank you.
I love being here.
And what we like to do is have you on at the beginning of every football season just to kind of get the lay of the land from what we've missed since last football season, what the offseason was like, spring in boardrooms and conference rooms and sitting there and shuffling paper and all those kinds of things. And so this is our chance to catch up with you, basically.
Absolutely. We're glad to be here and share all that has happened since the end of last football season.
No doubt.
Yeah, and we have some action under our belt already. Mm-hmm. I think last time we had you guys on, there wasn't even any football yet. We've had quite a bit of football. You were at the River Ridge Cherokee game. What'd you see out there? River Ridge pulling out the win 28-23.
Oh, it was a good game. We had a little lightning delay, a weather delay.
That no such
had to clear the stadium.
Lightning delay,
which
sir.
That happened all over the state. Yeah. But people did a great job and were able to get most of the games in. Some of them had to play on Saturday, but we got most of them in on Friday night. And then, of course, had Corky Kale this week. Mm-hmm. And that was really good. Started on Wednesday and finished up Saturday night. So it's a great week.
Nationally televised Buford game as well in the new stadium. What are your thoughts on that new stadium? Shiny and bright on TV?
I'm going to tell you, those things are unbelievable. I mean, what a great partnership between the city and then, you know, the Buford School District.
How many miles did you put on your car last year representing the GHSA?
Oh, God, I bet I put close to 2,000 a month.
So. Oh, wow.
But listen, work for great people, enjoy meeting the people around the state, and I'm very fortunate for the opportunity to be able to share with them and go visit and do the things that we get to do.
Did you keep track of your mileage?
Of course. That's reimbursable.
Reimbursable, yes.
Yeah.
Let that slide.
How many counties do you think you went into? How many different places did you visit last year?
Oh, I don't know. I'd have to go look back and look. I mean, I've been in Waycross and up in northeast and northwest Georgia to Reese's. I've been all over. I mean, north, south, east, and west. I've seen places I never. I grew up in Georgia, but I've seen places I've never seen before. So it's been interesting.
Really? Like what? Where?
Well, I mean, traveling down a small highway in rural southwest Georgia.
And your service goes out and your map goes out.
Oh, you don't have phone service? No. Yeah. And there's not any.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we're driving along some country store, and I like to stop. Sometimes I'll just stop because I want to see what's in this place, you know, and it's real interesting, and people are really nice that you get to meet, and so it's been cool.
Yeah, I felt like that with the Georgia EMC shoots. We would be at schools that we don't normally cover because we could drive hours out, and I always got a little nervous sometimes when the service would go out in the middle of nowhere, because you know where you're going, John. You know everywhere. I'm like, is my Jeep even going to make it?
Well, and yeah, so she's calling me. It's like, okay, well.
I would call you so many times. Okay, John, left at the Coca-Cola sign or right?
Yeah. So I'm like her Rick Steves or Fodor or whatever when it comes to Georgia high school athletics and going to all these different places.
All right. Well, heading into your second full year at the helm of the GHSA, are you regretting your decision?
Oh, absolutely not. Listen, the people around the state are wonderful to work with and work for, and it's an honor to serve in the position that I get to serve in. Of course, Robin Hines, Dr. Hines, has helped me along the way and
he's been there.
Yeah, he's done a great job, and we communicate a lot. But the people in our office are really, really good, and they know what they're doing. So it's made the transition easy for me, and I'm very thankful to the board of executive committee and the trustees and the work that we've been able to do together. Got a new bylaw, you know, passed this past year, and working on reclassification. So it's been an interesting year.
Yeah, and we'll get into that in a sec. What do you think the biggest challenge for the GHSA is these days with everything going on, with NIL and reclassification and population growth and population centers and all of these things that are going on? What's the most difficult challenge the GHSA faces these days?
I think as far as athletics goes, it's trying to make sure we understand that we are an education-based organization and that we want to make sure we educate our children for what they can do post-secondary, after high school. And for 99% of them, 98% of them, it's not going to be professional athletics. And so let's keep that in mind and keep the focus on that. And that's what we're trying to do. That's when I talk to people, you know, this is first and foremost. We provide a great opportunity to do extracurricular activities to, you know, go along with the education. And we're going to continue to do that and try to make sure we provide experiences in our state championships that those kids may not get in a lifetime. And so that's what we work to do.
Like John mentioned, this is a time where we're juggling so much in high school sports. What did you learn? What was the biggest thing you learned from year one?
Girls flag football is great.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
those
amen.
Are some great athletes. but that there's a difference all around the state, whether you're up in the mountains of North Georgia or whether you're in the far, you know, southern part, or if you're in the metro area. And each of those groups, they have their own challenges, and you can't just, sometimes we try to lump everybody under one thing, and you have to really look at each individual school and each individual area and see what they need, because we're in it for the children and the student athletes, and that's what we want to continue to work to do.
When you have, and I guess if you look at it like a bell curve almost, where the edges are the ones that need the most, and you can look at it geographically probably in single A and work your way forward, but then you get to the center of that bell curve, and that's like the 6A's, the bigger markets, the bigger cities, and those kinds of things. How do you draw the edges closer to the middle so it's not this big bell curve and everything is almost like a straight line? How do you bring the smaller classifications and the smaller schools that might need more attention and draw them in so they're getting that attention, so everyone is as close to being the same as they can be, you think?
Well, I think part of that's being able to promote yourselves and be seen. That's some of the things, you know, you go to some of these small rural towns, and we were talking about connectivity, you know, being able to see them, televise them, get them out on radio, and just that kind of stuff's difficult. Some of them don't have that kind of service, you know, internet-wise, especially some of the small counties, versus being in the metro area. You can be on some kind of streaming device almost all the time. And so those kids get seen and they're promoted, may say, a little bit more. But I think we just have to look at that, especially now as we come to reclassification, and how do we balance all of them, you know, private, public, small, large, so that we can be competitively strong and competitively balanced.
Yeah, and a lot of people outside the state don't realize whether you're in a small market, a large market, high school football is everything in these towns. And so it's really fun when we can televise more and do more. And a lot of the times our stream games are smaller games. So we try to get everything out there because that's what keeps us coming back every year, John. We do it for these kids mm-hmm. and these towns, and we just love it. Something that you've been working on is the eligibility rule in this offseason. Explain what that is and what all has gone into that rule.
So with that rule, I actually had some athletic directors, and there were two athletic directors from South Georgia, and then I had another three from the metro to above metro area that came and said, hey, we would like to put some teeth in the transfer rule. We feel like people are taking advantage of it. We're looking at some of our kids moving in. They're in their third year of high school, and this is their seventh school that they're coming to.
Wow.
You know, which we know that's not good. And
no.
that's not everybody, but they're seeing some that way. And so we would like to, you know, put something together. So I said, sure, let's put something together. So we started working on it. And they put together the policy, and then they took it to the eligibility committee. Eligibility committee, we met about probably, I think, three different times discussing it, working on it. and then got what we felt like was good, and we brought it to the trustees. And that's where, you know, it got voted in. But basically what you do is once you're established eligibility with the Georgia High School Association, whether that's as a ninth grader or whether you're moving in from out of state as a junior, once you've established that eligibility, you get one bona fide move. And now a bona fide move, you know, is when everybody in the household moves to a new service area. Then any move after that can be a bona fide move, but we want to know it's not for athletic purposes. And, you know, it's difficult to try to prove it's not for athletic purposes if you have an apartment and you move 2 miles to another apartment. It's just across a line where you were in an area where you didn't play, the team didn't do well, and you move into a county where the team's doing really well. And so we want to make sure that students are moving for the right reasons. And so we also had to change the Constitution so they can appeal any of those. And that comes to us first in the appeal process. And if one of us in the office turns it down, then they still get to go before four athletic directors. And then if they get turned down again, they get another attempt at it. So you get three tries to appeal.
Okay.
And so that's the biggest piece of it. The other piece is that we ask that you show evidence of a move. In other words, if you're leasing a home, where did you cancel your lease? Where do you start your lease? Did you turn off electricity? Did you turn on electricity? You know, those kind of things. Georgia has a law that you have to change your driver's license within 60 days after you move. You know, we want to, you know, go ahead and update your driver's license to your new address, those kind of things. In the past, we've not asked to see that evidence. But now that we do, it's on our Form B, and there's a link for each one of those that they just upload it.
What's the feedback been like about adding this new element to it all when it comes to the transfer rule, even though, and there is an appeals process and there are hardship reviews as well?
Absolutely. And we do, you know, look at it. We're not trying to stop someone from playing. We're just trying to make sure that there's not an undue influence there and that, you know, you're not moving just because I'm not playing here and, or this team's better, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But the feedback, you know, at first, athletic directors was, this is a lot of work. You know, we've never had to upload and we've got all our kids. But when you take all our transfers, mm-hmm. if you divide it up, and of course, it's not like this with everybody, but if you divide it up, each school has about 10 a year. Mm-hmm. So that's less than one a month. Now, obviously, some have none and some have 15 or 20 in a year. So there's just been different feedback. Most of it has been very, very positive. A few folks said that's a lot of work. And then it's new to the process. So we're still working through some hiccups and things like that. But overall, it's been a very smooth transition, and have a lot of, not just schools, but parents that said, hey, thank you. You know, and I get phone calls all the time from people that said, hey, I'm glad y'all are doing something. And so, and this wasn't Tim's idea or wasn't the GHSA's idea. It was coaches from around the state that put this together, and there was a process that we started on, and it was about a little less than a year ago that we started this process. So it was in the fall.
So when it comes to those coaches, though, are there like tattletale coaches? Are we like getting into kind of a scuttlebutt over, hey, looky at this school, look what they're doing?
No, don't get so much of that from coaches. I do get it from parents.
Yeah.
So
okay. Yeah.
I do get a lot of parents and of course, I tell them, you know, show me the evidence.
Yeah.
If you've got evidence, and then, of course, a lot of times when they claim something, and I say, well, if you'll email us some evidence, a lot of times I don't hear back
it
from them.
Out.
But I mean, we do investigate. We do look into things. But as far as coaches and schools, though, our people try to do it right.
Yeah.
And they work hard to make sure they get it right. We're on the phone. A lot of times they'll call and say, hey, this one's not going to go through, and you know, I need you to know that in case a parent calls you because they didn't do what they needed to do. But no, schools aren't so bad. It's a lot of times, you know, community and parents that I get emails and phone calls from,
pointing at rivals and go, hey, you know, look this way, kind of a thing. You mentioned reclass. It seems like it's almost a perpetual discussion almost, even though it's a 2-year cycle. It seems like, okay, we've got reclassification figured out. We're going to talk about it in 2 years, but you're not really talking about it in 2 years. It seems like reclass gets set, you start the process all over again. Where are you right now?
So right now, I pushed competitive balance really hard last year. That was something that I liked. It did not make the cut when it's time. And so it looks like, and we've not made the decision yet, but we still got to have another meeting or two. But it looks like we're going to continue to do basically what we're doing now. There is discussion about our postseason rankings. And instead of matching regions like we have in historically, that if you win a region championship, you would host. But then after that, you're going to go by power rankings. So it's possible that a region could have five or even six teams that make the playoffs, where another region may only have the region champ that makes it.
This sounds like Matt Stewart made a phone call down to you in Thomaston.
It does.
And with the Matt Stewart power rankings idea.
Yeah.
We're going to have to talk to Matt about this. It's like, yeah. did you talk to the folks in Thomaston, sir?
Yeah. Now, we hadn't voted. Obviously the reclassification committee will have to vote on it, but that's the kind of the discussion and where it looks like it could go later this fall when we bring it to the executive committee.
So still 6A's, power rankings, TBD. What are the other differences in this reclass?
I will not say still 6A's.
Oh.
Because if you look at what we have now, we have single A Division One and single A Division Two.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So
okay.
The conversation has come up. Can we just go back to single A, double A, triple A instead of having six?
So then there would be allegedly be 7A's again, all the way up to 7A? Okay.
Right, which is
already what it is.
We have now, except you have A Division One and A Division Two.
So people aren't necessarily loving.
So that's been some of the conversation. Mm-hmm. We'll see how it ends up.
Okay.
And I don't get a vote in that arena, but again, Kurt Miller has run the reclassification committee for us, and he's done a great job and pushed it along. And so we'll be settling on that in September and deciding what we're going to take to the executive committee when we meet in October.
It's a lot to think about. Just the podcast we did on it a year and a half ago, mm-hmm. the last reclassification, my head was spinning just trying to explain how it all went. I can't really imagine behind the scenes trying to figure out all the details.
Well, and how, when it comes to, because some regions obviously are easier to figure out geographically than others. It's like, oh, there's like seven of you and you're like 4 miles apart. And it's like, bang, you're in a region, that are the same. When it comes to like the region ones down in South Georgia, where you're going from Colquitt to Richmond Hill to play in not just football, since we're in football season, but all of your athletics is spread out and you're going from one place to another, from one end of the state to the other. And there's like north, south, and there's a lot of miles that get put in. When you're looking at that kind of reclassification and looking at regions and all of the jigsaw puzzle that's put into that, how do you figure out, okay, how do we not make this mile divide as large as it is and take those into account for those schools that have to travel long distances, for folks that don't know?
Yeah, well, obviously we look at a map and try to figure out what's as close as we can get. But in some cases, like in Region 1, there's not schools down there that are large.
Mm-mm.
They're not building them that are that big, so there's just a few of them that are really large, and that's going to be some traveling. I think Richmond Hill to Colquitt's probably close to 3 hours.
13 days to get from Richmond Hill to Colquitt.
That's a long trip for high school students.
And football, like you said, football's not that bad. What's tough is playing on a Tuesday night basketball game or
non-revenue
baseball game.
Sports,
yeah, those kind of things. It's got to be really, really tough. But we really want to look at that and see if we can. And then we also look is who's going to join. We've already had two or three schools that are non-member schools currently that have put in applications. They're on the smaller end, though. They're not a larger school that are interested in joining our organization. So, and of course, that can't happen until we start the next reclass because we've already got schedules and stuff set for this year, then the second year, but they'll be joining us. And so we'll have to look at that too. But all that goes in together when we're forming those regions.
How do you keep 465 member schools happy simultaneously?
You don't. You don't. I mean, we work to do the best we can and try to make sure we, are transparent in what we do. And I think that's real important. But people going to be upset about decisions because it doesn't always go their way.
How many flag football teams now? Two above 250, right?
We were 288 in the dome last year.
Not
we're,
enough is probably the
we're
answer.
We're 311 going
what?
Into, no, 311. We've gone from four divisions to five divisions now in girls flag
wow.
football. So.
What's it like to be a flag bearer for flag football? Pardon the pun. I mean, it was unintentional, but what's it like to be at the forefront of this sport as it's growing nationally?
I think it's great, and I'm hoping we can continue to grow. Of course, such a great partnership with the Falcons and the Arthur Blank Family Foundation, and they have supported us. And then the legislators, you know, we got the first resolution from them like no other in the U.S. that supports flag football, girls flag football. So it's been really, really great. And that's something I didn't expect. I didn't realize that sport would grow like it's growing.
Does Kevin Gerke know we have five divisions to air this year?
Well, that's a conversation the other side of the glass for our vice president.
That's really exciting.
Well, and I know that there are still pockets in the South, specifically, you know, swamp region, yeah. Southeast, Southwest, that still do not have flag. For those that haven't signed on yet, what would you tell them about, hey, you need to sign on to add this to your stack?
Yeah, I think it's great opportunities for young ladies and great exposure. A lot of these Division I schools are now starting flag football. You know, it's going to be part of the Olympics, you know, coming. So I think you got to look at it. But I do understand their dilemma sometimes, because especially if it's a small school. You know, I've got a girl's softball team. I've got a girls volleyball team, mm-hmm. and now I'm playing flag football. Are there enough students to go around to do all of them?
Yeah.
And so that's the other thing that we got to always think about too. We offer 32 different activities for, you know, a school, and of course all schools can't do everything or don't do everything, but flag football is just, it's one of those special things. And when you watch them,
yeah,
man, I mean, there's some athletes out there, and I'm excited to see what happens in the dome. I mean, the Mercedes-Benz later this year.
It's a dome.
It's a dome.
Yeah.
It's a dome. Waiting for college, too, to pick that up. D1 flag football. Can't wait. SEC flag football. We're going to see it.
Just means more.
The next 10 years.
Dr. Tim Scott, the executive director of the GHSA, hanging out with us for his yearly visit mm-hmm. for the Inquisition from those of us at GPP.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm here. I'm just kidding. We're so happy you're here.
Yeah. When you have a state that is a top three state for recruits in tackle football here in the United States, and it depends on the year. Folks will sit there and say, oh, you're number four. Yeah, you're number three. And now you're just behind California, Texas, Florida, depending on
whichever
poll. When you have all of these different athletes from all of these different cities and all these different classifications that are making this kind of an impact, what does it say about high school athletics on the whole here in the state of Georgia and where it is on a national scale? What's it like when you go to Indianapolis and have the conversations with everybody else?
Well, listen, of course, when you talk about those states, they all think they do it the best, but I'd argue that Georgia does it the best, you know, and that we do it better than anybody else. And I mean, you look at the Buford Milton game, you look mm-hmm. at the stadiums that are being built, the facilities that our young people are having the opportunity to participate in. And you know, you got Gainesville, they've got a beautiful stadium.
Yeah. When they did Bobby Gruen, I mean, that's like, whew, press box, man.
Yeah, but
I mean, did you ever think that you'd get to a point to where you're talking about luxury suites at high school football games?
No.
Company
I had
corporate
no
box
idea.
Seats.
No idea. No, when I was principal at Douglas County, we had a classrooms that were on one end of the building. If you've ever been to the stadium, that end of the building's right there. We got people to get the classrooms and offer food, and those were our suites back then. So, you know, never dreamed that you would have an opportunity of those kind of things. But that's what I think makes Georgia so special, and that trying to work to provide the very best for our athletes. And in some cases, you got somebody that's out of Buford or, you know, Milton or something. You know, you can name a lot of schools. And then they go to a small college, and sometimes that can be a step down facility-wise, you know, because mm-hmm. we do have such great facilities.
Mm-hmm. Name, image, and likeness. I want to get into that a little bit. How much of a challenge is it for the GHSA with the rules it has on hand to continue to remind folks about the rules that are on hand, especially with everyone wanting to push envelopes and edges and things like that and say, well, can I do this? How about this? How about this? How about this? What's it like navigating NIL these days?
Yeah, so one of the things about NIL, you have that's going to be something that's between whoever's offering it and the student.
Mm-hmm.
And the student has to notify the school. We sometimes get phone calls and emails about, tell me what I can do. That's where we have a policy, look at our policy, but whatever is negotiated is between the student and the NIL. And most of what we have is not financial. It's real small. You know, they get a meal at mama's kitchen, or they get a pair of batting gloves or a pair of shoes, that kind of stuff. And so it's not been too bad, but we want to make sure that we keep the main thing, and that's, you know, the student participating in athletics. And we remind parents all the time that if you have an athlete that's really, really good and they get offered something, you make sure you've got some representation and you're just not signing the first thing they throw out there.
No doubt.
I feel like the dust is still settling on NIL. I don't feel like we're at a point where anybody can take a step back and kind of assess it yet. But how do you feel like it's going from a GHSA standpoint?
I think from a GHSA standpoint, I think we have a great policy. Again, Dr. Hines worked on that and got it in there, and we're following it. So that our policy has not changed. When you look at how many that get an NIL, we had over 460,000 athletes.
Wow.
That we did eligibility on last year. We have total since we've started the NIL about 175.
Oh, that's lower than I would think.
And it's probably the marquee athletes in the main revenue sports, except for those superior athletes and the non-revenues that are just those that are just absolutely astronomically talented.
Yeah.
There was one other thing that I wanted to ask when it comes to advice. You're the executive director of the Georgia High School Association. Do you have regular conversations with other executive directors in other states? Do you have the other 49 on speed dial and somewhere on your phone where it's like, hey, I've got a question. I know I can call the head of the Rhode Island, high school association to get it, something
Rhode
going
Island.
On. Well, or North Carolina, it's whatever. I just, random state. I got a question. Hey, I'll call the guy in Montana. Do you talk regularly with your peers and kind of bounce ideas off each other?
Yeah, we do that. Now, we're in the, we call it the SEC.
Well,
but,
yeah.
Just means more.
Yeah, it does. Mm-hmm. And so we have a group, which is, Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, Mississippi, Alabama, Tennessee. So we have a group that's our Section 3.
Mm-hmm.
That's our group. And we Zoom about every other week and talk with each other. We're on the phone. I talked to the executive director this morning from Florida. Of course, obviously we have teams playing. I regular on the phone with South Carolina, Florida, Alabama all the time. So yes, we do discuss things. I've talked to the guy from Oklahoma. I've talked with one in New York and Arizona. So there, yeah, we do. But I have conversations with the Southern, Southeastern group more than anybody else right now.
What are your Zooms about? Like, what did you talk to the Florida executive director about today?
A game that we're playing this week against a Florida team.
Yeah.
And then while he had it on phone, he had a situation down there and he just asked about it. And I said, well, let me look some things up. I'll send it back. And then, of course, we share bylaws. And what are you, they'll call and say, wait, what are you doing? Especially with our eligibility. I've had two or three say, hey, send me what y'all are doing. We've got to look at something. And Alabama, we've sent it to people and I don't know if they'll use it or they'll tweak it or they'll throw it in the trash. Who knows?
What about vice versa? Have you gotten ideas from them?
Absolutely. A lot of what we pulled from some of the other states with what we're doing.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if there's anything else that's on the table.
What else did you guys discuss during the off season?
Well, the eligibility one was a big one.
Yeah.
We did hire a new executive director. I'm not a new executive director, excuse me.
I was going to say, we've heard
associate,
of him.
A new associate
nice,
director.
Nice, nice.
Mary Sherman right. comes out of Columbus. Mm-hmm. And so she's taken over. Don Core, that had been right. associate, he's kind of stepped back a little bit, be a grandfather some. So those are some things that have taken place in the off season. But really the biggest thing that we've done is have those reclass meetings and get the yeah. eligibility across.
Yeah.
9 hours in a conference room with the doors closed, hermetically sealed rooms.
That's we'll have just, to see how year one goes and the recap.
Notes, the yeah. notes of that just have to be just stacks of legal pads about up to here.
Yeah, you know, getting things ready for yeah. state playoffs, venues, and making sure everybody's ready to go. And
what's the biggest misconception folks have about the GHSA and what the work that you guys do down there in Thomaston?
I think the people think that it all comes from the office itself, and we're not. It's a member-run organization, and so our schools, we listen to them, and we try to do what those athletic directors and those representatives from all the schools want us to do and in the direction that we're going, and that's – it's not just, you know, our way or the highway from the office, but we do have a board that we work with, and I think that's real important. And now we have discussions, I'll just say that, about some things.
Discussions.
underline.
We don't always agree on things,
marks.
But at the end of the day, when we walk out of the room, I think we're all pulling the rope in the same direction, and we come together. And that's the great thing about the people that are on those is they may not agree, but once we've made a decision and the group's going, they're pulling the rope that same direction, trying to make it happen, because it's what's best for children.
Yep. It's all about the kids.
And you know, the next time that literally I think we're going to blink mm-hmm. and we'll all be at Mercedes-Benz.
Oh man, and yeah, having discussions about continuing there.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Oh okay.
Okay.
Okay. Is right. that coming up for renewal?
That's coming up.
Okay.
All right.
Fingers
so we'll keep an eye on that. As always, it's yeah. great to have you here to kind of kick off our year when we do the weeklies, and it's great to have you here to just kick off our year period. So we can catch up with you.
Yeah. Listen, I appreciate the work you guys do and how you promote us, and can't thank you enough for what you do.
Executive Director of the Georgia High School Association, Dr. Tim Scott, hanging out with us. Hannah, we've made it.
We made it. We've been looking forward to this one. Really excited. Always glad to catch up and figure out what's going on behind the curtain at the GHSA.
As always, great to see you, my friend. We'll catch up with you soon. That's another go-around of the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast. For Dr. Scott, for Hannah, I'm just John. Play it safe, everybody. Enjoy the games. We'll catch up with you soon.
Brought to you by the Georgia Governor's Office of Highway Safety, reminding you to buckle up, Georgia.